Our final reading tells of the wise men as they followed the star to find Jesus and gave him special gifts. It also tells us of King Herod's anger as he tries to kill God's King, King Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, thank you, Martin, very much for the invitation to come and speak to you tonight. I worked for the church here, I think, about 12 years ago now as a ministry apprentice, so it's very nice to be back and to see a few familiar faces. I want to speak to you just briefly about that reading which we just had read, the account of the wise men. You might like to have it open in front of you in our service sheet. I guess the story is fairly familiar to us. We know about these wise men. We've seen them depicted on enough Christmas carols, or we've been to that nativity play where the teacher kind of shoves the slightly bewildered children on the stage, dressed up how she imagined Oriental kings might have looked. It's a familiar story, and so it's easy for us to miss how extraordinary it really is. I think we'll find it's full of surprises. These are surprising visitors who make a surprising journey on a surprising search, bringing surprising gifts. So let's have a think about some of those surprises together. First of all, they're surprising visitors. They sweep in mysteriously from the east, and then they quickly disappear again, never to be heard of again. Our passage calls them Magi, which, let's face it, is a pretty weird description, isn't it? It's the word from which we get our word magic. They were perhaps some kind of priest, philosopher types. So wise men isn't a bad description. Certainly we can tell from the passage that they were into their astrology. They'd been studying the stars. Now, astrology in the Bible is a dodgy business. In the Bible's terms, these people are decidedly religiously unorthodox. They've got some funny ideas. And yet God invites them to be guests at the birth of his son. Not only are they slightly dodgy astrologers, but they're also foreigners. They don't belong to God's special chosen people, Israel. And so this visit of the wise men, these strange visitors, are an indication of who it is God is going to invite to himself. They're outsiders, but God welcomes them. They show us that Jesus is of far more than local importance. He's of worldwide, global significance. I don't expect they set off like this to visit every crown prince that they thought was being born. Jesus has come for all the nations, for all people. In fact, the star suggests that Jesus is of cosmic importance. They're surprising visitors, and they make a surprising journey. Our passage tells us just that they came from the east. We don't know where from exactly. Perhaps the best guess is that they came from Babylon. God's people had been exiled in Babylon, modern-day Iraq, at one time. And so perhaps these people were descendants of those who cheered something of the prophecies of a Messiah to come. Now, if you go straight across the desert, it's 540 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. And of course, despite the spoof version of the carol, they didn't come one in a taxi and one in a car and one in a scooter sounding his hooter. They had to walk or ride. The journey would have taken them at least a month, probably rather longer. By the time they come to see Jesus, he's no longer in a manger, he's in a house, and he's called a child rather than a baby. So some time might have elapsed. In fact, we find out later that the star might have appeared as much as 2 years before. Had they been on the road all that time? It was an expensive, difficult journey. And when they run into Herod, they begin to risk their necks for the sake of seeing Jesus. These wise men tell us that it's worth making the time and effort to find out about Jesus, whatever it takes. Worth crossing a continent to find out about him. And yet for us, it's relatively easy. We don't have to saddle up our camel to find out more about Jesus. Like those at Herod's court, we have Bibles readily available. We only have to make it as far as the church to find out more about the Lord Jesus. When I was a kid, I remember seeing a corny old car bumper sticker. It said, "Wise men sought Jesus, they still do." Well, it's a bit groan-worthy, but it's true, isn't it? The wise thing to do is to seek Jesus, whatever it takes. Surprising visitors, a surprising journey, a surprising search. We sometimes talk about these men as three kings, and yet our passage doesn't call them kings, and it doesn't say that there were three of them. Actually, this is a passage not about three kings, but about two kings, King Herod and King Jesus. The wise men ask Herod, "Where is the one who is born to be king of the Jews?" And we're told that Herod is disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, because he thinks, well, king of the Jews, that's me. I'm not expecting a vacancy. Herod knows that they must be seeking the Messiah, the Christ, God's long-promised rescuer king, the one who would bring in God's kingdom in all its fullness, the one who would put the world to rights. And Herod knows he'll be on the wrong end of that. This Jesus is going to be a ruler who will shepherd God's people, Israel. King Jesus will be totally different from King Herod. Jesus, like a good shepherd, will protect his people and provide for them. But in the next section of Matthew's Gospel, we find Herod sending in the soldiers to kill the baby boys in Bethlehem. Herod kills his people. Jesus, in contrast, will die for them. A surprising search. Lastly, surprising gifts. They give Jesus gold. I've told my family that if they're ever really stumped, gold bullion would be fine. It's quite a good gift, isn't it? A gift fit for a king. And of course, Jesus is only a peasant boy. We've read of his birth in humble circumstances. We might say it was a one-star inn. This is a tough crowd, Mark. A one-star inn, you see. That's... Oh, dear. Oh. They bring him gifts fit for a king. Gold and frankincense, or incense, which in Old Testament times was offered to God as a symbol of prayer, that the smoke would go up to God like the prayers of the people. Here's a gift that you would offer to God. Maybe these wise men recognize that Jesus is more than a mere human king. He's God come in the flesh, and they bow down and worship him. Here is the king who deserves the worship of the nations. Gold, incense, and then finally myrrh, perhaps the surprisingest gift of all. Myrrh, which was a spice used as an embalming fluid. We've got four kids, and I sometimes feel like our house is overrun with plastic and full of toys. They've got innumerable, you know, cuddly creatures I can't remember the names of. But amongst all the Playmobil, no one has ever given them a toy hearse or a cuddly undertaker. Well, that's what this gift is like. Myrrh. It's a bit spooky. It's a gift which speaks of death. Because Jesus was born to die. He had come to die in the place of all those who would put their faith in him so that they might be forgiven. He's a supremely surprising king. This Christmas, I want to encourage you to follow the example of those wise men by investigating for yourself who Jesus is. And later, Martin's going to tell us about Christianity Explored, which is going to start in the new year. That's a great opportunity to find out who Jesus really is. You might find that he surprises you. Amen.